From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, are you ready for the new year? Is 2021 about the number of points you're heading for after Everton Man City was called off this game week? What to do in general about your weekend plans? Well, we've got all the tips you need for a sizzling start to January in the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello, FPL manager. I'm James Richardson, and I'm joined today on the official FPL pod by the cat with the stats, Duncan Alexander of Stats Perform.
Hello, James.
Bro with the info, football journalist and writer, Daniel Story.
Thank you, James.
And spouse who was briefly top in his own house, Lee Bonfield of the FPL
family. What an introduction. Hello, James.
You've been deposed by Sam, Lee.
It was a full 4.5 days that I was ahead of Sam right. In FPL this year, so I milked it for all it's worth. But we're back to I'm back in my box. Let's say,
how many points between you?
Only about 7 points actually between the two of us. So it's I'm hanging on her coattails. It's still some football to be played this season. So let's see how it goes.
Still some football to be played in game week 16. Indeed, two games coming up Wednesday evening. We hope, although having had one match postponed already from this round, there is some doubt over one of Wednesday's fixtures, but you may know more by the time you hear this, listener. 4 days in, anyway, to this double set of fixtures. How's everybody doing? Daniel?
Yeah, I'm using this podcast as my confessional because I've made a huge mistake. I brought out Mane and Sterling way too late for Salah and Son. So Sadio Mane can thank me for his upturning goal scoring. And yeah, the other two have pretty much blanked ever since.
Wow. What about you, Duncan?
Well, I was on for a really good score in game week 15. All my general lads did really well. You know, got 10 points off Suchek, 8 off Bamford. Jack Harrison did well, Kyle Walker-Peters. But then all the big guns let me down. Captain Salah, that didn't work out. Kane and Son didn't work out either. So if I could have been on for my first three-figure score of the season, had that worked out. But so it's not been, compared to a lot of people, it's not been too bad. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the average for game week 15 was a measly 41. You clocked in with 62, which was the best of any of us in that game week. And this game week has been challenging as well. I mentioned the fact that Everton Man City has been postponed because of the outbreak of COVID at Man City's training ground, and significant doubt, therefore, about their fixture in game week 17 at the start of the new year away at Chelsea. Beyond that, is there something else that was going on over this Christmas period? They were low-scoring game week, it feels like, a lot of assets that didn't perform.
Yeah, I think Duncan's right in 15. I don't think any of the heavy hitters. We've had game weeks recently where all the heavy hitters have come in and our transfer plans have been, you know, trying to decide between which one we're going to have. And then in 15, nobody really came in. I mean, Fernandez got a reasonable haul, didn't he? 12 points. So if you captained him, well done. I captained Salah, which didn't go that well. But then again, week 16, we've seen it again. It's probably the lesser owned players, like the Leeds players, Dallas and Bamford coming in for me, which is fantastic. But I haven't seen anything from Fernandez, only an assist for him last night. But yeah, actually, maybe in a game week where, you know, a lot of FPL managers are maybe struggling to get a full team out, an assist from Fernandez is a pretty good thing to have.
That's certainly true. We'll be talking a bit more about those lesser owned players later on. We'll be having a little section on differentials and some listeners pick some tips from you guys as well, which could be invaluable in the weeks to come. The business of fixture disruption, this is the second game this season that we've seen postponed because of an outbreak of COVID-19. Obviously, this happened to Newcastle as well. How much is this going to affect your team planning going forward, Daniel?
I think for me, it might persuade me to make my wild card a little bit earlier than I would have liked. And at that point, I think I'll be bringing in players on the bench who I think are probably going to get regular minutes, which I don't have at the moment. I'm not sure it's worth using transfers to get bench players in, but I think when you're doing that wildcard, you have to factor it in, particularly if with the bigger clubs with the higher priced assets in European competition and playing twice a week right the way through.
So you need a playing bench, essentially.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Lee and Duncan, are you altering your plans going forward? Does it make you less likely to bring in Man City assets if you were thinking that way?
Well, I've been on a on a kind of not using Man City players much at all season. So that's kind of worked out, but I'm sure the incidents won't be restricted to Man City. I mean, I'd go different to Daniel in the sense that I'd probably leave my wild card for longer because, you know, the next couple of months could be a bit disrupted. There could be fixture congestion. I think having that ability to completely revamp your team in March or April could prove to be really important. So I'm going to probably try and muddle through the next kind of few weeks and then take it from there.
Right. Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I think holding the wild card would be a good strategy. I agree with Daniel, though. Have a playing bench. I think going back to FPL basics and having that playing bench is pretty key. And also doing things like making sure that your captain and your vice-captain are from different games. Right? I mean, if you captained and vice-captained two Man City players this game week, that would have been, you know, a waste of your captaincy this week. So just go back to the FPL basics and do those things.
Having a playing bench as an FPL basic, Lee?
It is for me, James. Yeah, it is for me.
No, I mean, I'm sure you're right.
Even Tyrick Mitchell got a game this week, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did. No word yet on when Everton-Man City will be played. There's a lot of excited comment that it might feature in the already colossal double game week 19, which is looming pretty large right now. But next up, let's have a look at the games which should be going ahead this weekend. Game week 17. Game week 17's deadline is Friday, the 1st of January, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 90 minutes before Everton take on West Ham. Also on Friday, you've got Man United up against Aston Villa. That's an interesting one. Saturday, equally intriguing, is Spurs Leeds. Then you've got Sheffield United visiting Crystal Palace, Brighton against Wolves, and West Brom Arsenal. On Sunday, Burnley Fulham, Newcastle Leicester, and possibly Chelsea Man City, although given what's happened with Man City this week, I feel it's a little bit unlikely. And then Monday, game week 17, ends with Saints against Liverpool. Daniel, what's beeping, what's flashing away on your fancy radar there?
Tottenham Leeds for me, I think the kind of narrative around Tottenham has obviously shifted over the last couple of weeks with Kane and Son. Well, not receiving the service and certainly not scoring the points. I actually think that you should stick with them for this one. You look at how Leeds played against Manchester United when they were so open to the counter. I think Mourinho will be slightly pushed into action to try and make the problem is for FPL managers is that not just that Tottenham have been defending deep, but they've been defending deep without bothering to counter-attack. That has to change against Leeds. And if you look at Leeds against those bigger clubs, they faced 94 shots in four games against Manchester City, United, Chelsea and Liverpool. They only faced 138 in their other 12 games. So they've been really tight and good against the rest. But I think against Tottenham away, I don't think we'll see another 6-2, but I think we'll see a different Tottenham.
I agree with Daniel. I think it's... It's interesting the way that Spurs have been setting up recently, haven't we? I don't know whether we're spotting a bit of a trend with the way that Jose's approaching these games. I mean, they tried to see out the game at Crystal Palace and ended up dropping points. They tried to see out the game at Anfield and drop points. And then again at Wolves more recently, they seem to want to get the goal, get the lead and then defend in kind of typical Jose style. I actually noticed the stat that I saw on Twitter the other day about shots on target in the second half of games. The bottom three in the Premier League is West Brom with 7, Sheffield United with 7, and then Spurs with 5. So that just tells you everything you need to know about their attacking intent in the second halves of games when they've got the lead, and that is that they don't have any. So I don't know whether that's going to change for the Leeds game. I agree with Daniel, could be some goals in this game.
But do you agree with Daniel that you should stick with Kane and Son if you have them?
So I am for the short term, James. Yeah, so I've got... I'm hoping that I'm going to get Son and Kane in the Fulham game this evening. And then against Leeds, I will be keeping hold of them. But both of them are auditioning for a spot in my double game week 19 team. I think Son, given his ownership, I'll probably hold him. But Kane, I would be tempted to move on to Vardy for the double game week. But let's see. I'm expecting goals in that Leeds game and hopefully for the two that I've got.
Big Duncan.
I've got both, but they're on thin ice, ironically, given it's winter, because, they've not been performing. And you know, as Lee said, Kane costs a lot of money, so he frees up some spots. I've got him captain for the game against Fulham, assuming that happens. So, well, yeah, he's in last chance saloon.
Is he? Is that where he's drinking? The Leeds assets, though, the Leeds side of this, they're coming off a couple of very interesting results, one in which they out-Burnley'd Burnley and then that whopping 5-goal haul against West Brom. Now, Rafinha's been tipped up twice by Julien on this podcast. I don't know if anybody's, you know, reacted and bought him in. Bamford, I imagine we probably all have. Who else is on your Leeds radar? Are you looking to get any of them in particularly? Because they do double in game week 19.
Well, I brought Jack Harrison in a couple of weeks ago and he's been pretty solid.
Nice.
But they really share, they share the goals around, they share the assists around. Yeah, I mean, they're really attractive at the moment. The only thing is, you know, they are pretty hot and cold as well. So they could have a couple of bad weeks. But, you know, in terms of price, I mean, I know Leeds mentioned having Stuart Dallas as well. There's options all over the place. Alioski as well. So
I really like Jules's backing of Rafinha, actually, because in the last couple of game weeks, he's massively passed the eye test for me. I know that a lot of managers will be looking at Alioski and Dallas at the back there and be tempted into the Leeds defence. But I think Rafinha doubled up with Bamford looks good going forward. And even if you want to go super bargain up front as well, if you want to, you know, double on Bamford and Rodrigo, because Rodrigo is, I think, 5.7 or so, he's super cheap up there. So, you know, listen, with the double game week coming up and the way that Leeds are scoring goals, going for Bamford and Rodrigo, I'm not sure I'd want to go treble with Rafinha. I think that's a bit, that's one step too far. But doubling on two of those three looks really good to me.
Is it, in general, is it now a bad idea to have three players from one team given the potential for postponements?
Well, I think it is. Yeah, I think that's going back to the, you know, the basics of FPL. I think given where we are in the season, having three from one team is a bad thing. But listen, if you had three Leeds players in the fixture last night where they all returned against West Brom, then maybe that wasn't such a bad thing for you.
Right. Loving these FPL basics.
I was going to say, the other slight thing to consider to maybe slightly call back to our talk about potential postponed fixtures, maybe make your transfers a little bit later than you would normally. Because we knew shortly before the Everton Man City game it was going to be off. But I suspect if this is going to affect us moving forward, we might know 2 or 3 days in advance. So maybe leave your transfers a little bit later than you would normally.
Now you tell me. Okay. Duncan, what are you looking at this weekend from the fixtures?
I was looking at Liverpool Feeder Club versus Liverpool, a.k.a. Southampton versus Liverpool, which
wow, that's such
always
a disrespectful way to talk, really.
If they've got any good centre-backs we can have.
Yeah. It's interesting because obviously Liverpool have had a bit of a mixed Christmas. Obviously the West Brom game scuppered everyone, I think. You know, seeing Salah do pretty much nothing for 90 minutes wasn't ideal. They play Newcastle today. That's normally a reasonably good fixture for them. I think for me, the key thing actually is the nearing to return of fitness of Thiago, because, you know, I think if they'd had Thiago against West Brom, he is the perfect player to kind of thread balls through and break that kind of two banks of five that Big Sam set up. And you could see a similar, you know, Southampton are pretty good at defending. So if he is back, that's a massive differential.
When are we likely to see Thiago featuring?
There's rumours he might be on the bench for the Newcastle game. So it's worth keeping an eye on that one. And then perhaps considering it, obviously the Southampton game is on Monday night, so he would have time to recover then. Yeah, and that's bizarrely, he's not actually made his home debut for Liverpool yet. And we're going to head into January. But yeah, this, I think he would be a really good option. Obviously, you can double up on Mane and Salah now as well. Mane looks like he's getting back to form, thanks to Daniel. Yeah, Liverpool, I think, you know, obviously a lot was made of the West Brom performance, but, you know, clubs will have these throughout the season. I think they should bounce back over the next few weeks.
This Mane-Salah double up, one of the motives for considering that in the past was the fact that Mane is more of a consistent scorer, does it home and away, whereas Salah doesn't. Salah is now actually piling up the points away from Anfield as well. He's registered either a goal or an assist or both in each of his last six away matches. And to have both of them would cost you, got to do some maths here. This is 24.5 million of whatever currency it is we use in FPL. Is that really conceivable? That does seem like a lot of eggs in one basket.
I think it's conceivable if you go for more budget striker options, because you're effectively using Mane and Salah as your strikers, as your goal and assist threat anyway. So if you know, we talked about maybe dropping Kane out, if you took out, let's say, Kane for Antonio to create some space in midfield, I think it's a perfectly viable option.
I think equally, just having Salah isn't much of a differential nowadays. He's 46% owned in the game. Whereas if you're going to couple him with Mane, who's only 8.1% owned, that's the real differential. For anybody that fancies using their triple captain chip in double game week 19, which given the uncertainty in the Premier League at the moment is maybe a strategy I might be rethinking. But if you want a triple captain Mane in that double game week, that is a fantastic differential in my opinion.
Mane rather than Salah because of the differential power.
Depending on where you are in your mini leagues, James. Yeah, I think if you're protecting a lead, if you're up there already and you're looking over your shoulder at people coming up against you, then maybe go safe with Salah. But if you're chasing and you want to get up those mini leagues, then Mane.
The only thing I would say on it is what's quite interesting is that last season, obviously, Trent Alexander-Arnold was in imperious form. And I think that really benefited Mane being on the attack of the other wing. Whereas Robertson's been the better defender this year. And I think that's helped Salah quite a bit. So it is worth kind of monitoring how Trent, you know, because I think the last few games he has been looked a little bit rusty. So if he starts to improve, I think that will have a big impact on Mane.
I'd had the opposite impression that actually Trent was coming back into form in the last month or so, and that maybe was connected, as you say, with Mane's resurgence as a points provider. Anyway, well, big question marks, but that ownership, sweet 8%. Wow. Alrighty. What about Saints assets? I'm sure we've all got a couple knocking around in our squads. A Ward-Prowse here. Shea Adams there. They've not been producing the way we thought. Are they as attractive as they were a couple of weeks ago?
I mean, for me, it's a defensive thing with Southampton. You know, I've got McCarthy, who I kind of rotate with Emi Martinez, usually the wrong way round. So my substitute goalkeeper racks up a lot of points. And Kyle Walker-Peters has been pretty solid as well. So I think I'm happy to stick with Southampton from a defensive point of view. But yeah, attack-wise, they're a little bit hit and miss at the moment.
They've got Liverpool coming up on Monday, then the blank in game week 18, and then Leicester away and Leeds away in the double game week 19. Lee, tell us about Man United, Aston Villa. For example, should we be piling on other Villa players than Jack Grealish?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that I think a lot of FPL managers will be listening to this section thinking, oh, who from Aston Villa can I have? You know, Manchester United in a home game, you think, right, let's talk about Bruno and Rashford and Martial and everybody else. But actually, it's Aston Villa who are the form team in the Premier League right now. Really, really good form. A lot of FPL managers will have Grealish. I've got him myself, 7.8 in the game. Starting maybe to question his value a little bit, given that there are other options now in that midfield in particular. And we're El Ghazi, 5 goals in as many appearances now since game week 12. So that's the most of any of the Aston Villa midfielders during that time. And crucially, on penalties, it seems as well. I think Dean Smith has come out and I think even Jack Grealish has come out and said that, you know, he is our best penalty taker. When he's not on the pitch, I think Grealish takes them. But when he is on the pitch, which is more often than not at the moment, he will take the penalties. Now, I would like a quick word on Ross Barkley. And when Ross Barkley comes back into the team, which I think is soon, how does that affect Anwar El Ghazi? My personal opinion on it is that it's actually Traore that will make way for Barkley when Barkley comes back, because I just don't think that Dean Smith and the Aston Villa team can drop El Ghazi right now. But he looks in sensational form. And if you wanted to save yourself $2 million by moving from Grealish to El Ghazi, I wouldn't want to put anybody off that right now.
Although, just one little statistical insight here. Grealish's season so far has been blank, blank, double-digit return. Blank, blank, double-digit return. Blank, blank, double-digit return. Blank, blank, double-digit return. Blank, blank. I mean, I could go on, but actually I couldn't because that's where we are right now, which means he's due for a double-digit return. It is science.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's weird that the blank, blank and return is odd. And do you know what? Against Manchester United away, Manchester United, given the confidence that they've got at the moment and where they're sitting in the league, I'd expect them to have a bit of a go at Aston Villa and expect them to want to go out and win that game, obviously. So, you know, Villa and Grealish and the folks up there up front will find a bit of space in behind, I think.
El Ghazi, as you say, though, it looks such a great shout. $2 million cheaper than Jack Grealish, has outscored him quite significantly over the last five matches. In terms of United, Bruno Fernandes, we've all got, even you now, Daniel, is that right?
I will have about, by the time anyone listens to this, he will be in my team, yes.
Right. That's quite a punt. What makes you think he might be a good asset?
Unbelievably, he will be making his Daniel Story debut this weekend, which is probably says more about me than him.
Sell, sell. Yeah. Excellent. Well, one or two things to be considering then as we head into game week 17. Chelsea Man City would be a massive fixture fantasy-wise, but after what happens to Man City's fixture this week and the outbreak at their training ground, I think it's a significant doubt that that game will go ahead. So pretty tough ask to get in players for a fixture with big question marks over it. As such, then, let's move on next to the long view. Longview, everybody. We've got our fixture difficulty rating chart, courtesy of the wonderful fantasy.premierleague.com. It lists the fixtures coming up for everybody in order, in colour-graded order of difficulty. And looking at a six-week tranche, the next six game weeks of the season, it's actually Man City who seem to have maybe the easiest run. They don't double up in game week 19, but just with the whole uncertainty around them at the moment, and the uncertainty anyway inherent with any Pep Guardiola managed side, would you be remotely considering any Man City acquisitions at this point, anyone?
I would be, yeah, absolutely at the moment, because one of the things you, I think you have to consider is that as FPL managers, we're all looking at the big shining light, the double game week in 19, and we're planning our teams for it. What you don't want is to wake up the morning after double game week 19 in game week 20 and think, you know, I really hate my team here and I've got a lot of players that I actually don't want. And what's great about Manchester City is, okay, there is no double, but the single is okay. Crystal Palace at home is pretty good. But then from game week 20, the fixtures are unbelievable for Manchester City. It's West Brom, then it's Sheffield United, then it's Burnley. So I would want at least one for the double game week, and then maybe a second coming out into game week 20. It depends on when you're playing your wild card as well. If you're going to play your second wild card coming out of game week 19, then, you know, maybe that's the time to fill up on Manchester City. But I think I'd have at least a couple in there, knowing that going into 20, I'd want them.
Damn, you just blow my mind. Duncan had to get up and walk around the room so he got with the, by that information.
Yeah, which,
it sounds nice and simple when you say it like that, Lee, but which couple?
Well, for me, I think Cancelo has looked fantastic last couple of game weeks. I mean, he got a couple of bonus points despite getting booked last time out. And of course, with the postponements and with the, you know, the COVID that's going on in the Man City ranks at the moment, they've got a lot of their players having a reasonable break from the football. So coming into, you know, 18, 19 and then the nice fixtures in 20, a lot of them will have a reasonable rest here. So Cancelo, for me, looks really good. Did not play like a right back in the previous fixture, was all over the pitch, very central as well, a lot of goal threat, heat maps all over that right side of the penalty area. So where you want him to be from an FPL perspective.
I feel like my appearances on this podcast are sponsored by Ferran Torres, but he would be the one I would go to. He's got two goals in his last four games and he has been playing as that false nine striker again. He's only 6.9 million. I think for a City player who has come into the goals in recent weeks, that's probably pretty good value.
They have, as you mentioned, Lee, Crystal Palace at home in game week 19, and then after that, West Brom away, then Sheffield United at home, then Burnley away. These are deep blue fixtures by the FDR colour scheme, at least. Anybody else tempted? Duncan?
No, I mean, as I said earlier, I've kind of avoided City, apart from a little bit of Phil Foden earlier in the season.
Right.
And, you know, everything Lee's said there makes sense, but, you know, I don't know, I might just go through the whole season without really experimenting with City. Let's see how it goes.
All right. How about experimenting with Arsenal? Do you dare to dream after they get this back-to-back wins? Because their fixture's coming up, although, like City, they also only have one match in double game week 19. But the fixtures are otherwise pretty nice. They're away at West Brom in game week 17, then home to Palace, then home to Newcastle.
Yeah, I'm enthusiastic. I mean, not, you know, we've been here before with Arsenal and it could all go wrong quite soon again. But, you know, they do look like they've, you know, discovered that if you play young players and attack a bit, then it can work out for the best. Obviously, Lacazette's started scoring again. He's reasonably low priced as a forward if you want to ship out, say, a Kane or a Vardy. He's only 8.2 million. And then in the big news for me is obviously got Emil Smith Rowe, who's come in and looked pretty creative, and he's only 4.4 million. And then Martinelli's come back as well, and you know we know how good he was last season. He's only 4.9 million. So those two and Saka really are three kind of low-priced midfield options that, you know, should hopefully return you good points in the next few weeks. I wouldn't have all three of them, obviously, but you know, take your pick from who you think's going to do best.
I think you're spot on with the younger players there, Duncan. It seems that, you know, that there's a spirit around the Arsenal camp now that has been sort of severely lacking in the last few weeks and months. I noticed after the Brighton game, a lot of them were hugging each other, a lot of them were congratulating Saka. Did kind of roll his ankle a little bit in that game, so keep an eye on whether that could be an injury for him. But, these sort of snippets of games and this sort of, you know, the spirit that they showed there after that game was telling for me. And I think with the fixtures coming up, despite only the single game in 19, I still think they're worthy of investment. And I agree with you, Saka looks the one to have.
I mean, one thing about this is the fixtures coming up, a lot of us will be intending to free hit, excitingly, in game week 18. So as such, I might well get in your Sakas, your Lakas, etc. for that game against Czechs, Notes, Crystal Palace at home, but I don't have to build them into my team or anything. Daniel, you're not convinced by the Arsenal's corner turning.
I've got enough false dawns in my team, I'm afraid. I watched the game against Brighton, and true to form for Brighton, they should have been two up or three up maybe before Arsenal scored. It's a little bit too early now for me to think they're back in terms of using transfers to bring in Arsenal players and then wondering in 3 weeks why they're there. So I completely agree with Duncan. For 4.4 or 4.9 million for Smith Rowe and Martinelli, I would do it, but I don't think I'd go any higher than that.
Okay. I mentioned free hitting in game week 18. Lee, you were talking about triple captaining in 19. As we draw closer to this exciting blank and then double game week, how are our plans crystallising? Duncan, what are you doing?
Well, I was hoping to get some good advice today, and I feel that I've got that. So, yeah, I mean, I think...
Man City in, Duncan.
Yeah, no, not that keen. But, last season I didn't use my free hit very well. So, yeah, I hadn't really considered doing it this early. But, you know, if James Richardson's going to do it, then why can't I do it?
So I'm going to free hit, Duncan. I'm going to free hit game week 18.
18, yeah.
Probably out of the park. And then double game week 19, I've been building quietly in my underground
shadow
lab.
Squad.
A team of double game weekers. I've now got an entire squad, apart from my goalie, who all have double fixtures. Whether they'll feature in both, whether all those fixtures go ahead, I don't know. But I feel like I'm pretty covered for game week 19. Of course, there'll be players with only one fixture who'll probably pile up big returns, but I'm just trying to cover my ample behind on this one. And my plan for chippage on double game week 19 is not to triple captain because of the uncertainty, but to bench my boost, or boost my bench indeed.
I like that as a strategy, James. I think it's really good. I think there are, personally, I think there's other game weeks later in the season. I think game week 26, I think, looks good for a bench boost, if I've got that correct. But I agree with you on the free hit in 18. I'm actually quite excited about the free hit in 18 because I think it's the perfect week to play it. I think it's the perfect week to pick a bunch of differentials that can, you know, you'll go flying up the league if they come in. I have to say, I'm looking at the fixtures and, okay, Manchester City play Brighton, so you're probably going to pick your captaincy there. But, you know, we just mentioned Arsenal at home to Crystal Palace in 18. Mm-hmm. It's not beyond the realms of possibility if they show a bit of form against West Brom that you bring in someone like an Aubameyang. And, you know how explosive he's going to be. You don't want him back in 19. So he'll go, you know, he'll leave again because of your free hit. So as a one-off game week, maybe Aubameyang captain in 18. I mean, no one's got him, right? Could be a really good differential.
Why is that? Why is that, Lee, that no one has him?
Well, it's like I say, it's a one-off game week. So listen, I'm not advocating anybody transfer in Aubameyang right now. But for a one-off against Crystal Palace at home, could be all right.
All right. Just a quick point on the rules. If you're carrying free transfers going into using a free hit chip, you don't retain them on the other side, do you? You can't roll over free transfers through a free hit chip, can you?
That's correct. Free hit is effectively your transfer for that week, yeah.
So basically, you'll come out on the other side with no transfers rolled over.
You'll come out of game week 18 with one free transfer, yeah.
Yeah, with your standard one. But even if you had two going into... Yeah, I think we're there now. Next up, talk about some more bold picks with differentials with this week's Twitter question on the niche assets that you listeners are looking to over the next few weeks. Yep, blank and double game weeks are on the horizon. We asked on Twitter this week, which differentials are you counting on to help your overall rank? Hashtag FPL pod was the place to send the answers. Rizky says Burnley defenders are interesting differentials. I'll take Lowton, who's priced at 4.4 and guaranteeing 90 minutes every week. Yeah?
Yeah, I like the sound of him. I think I would have gone for Charlie Taylor at 4.6 instead. However, yeah, injured, I think, last night. Or at least something wrong with him. So we've got to wait to see what the extent of that is. And for Charlie Taylor owners, that was a tough one to take, actually, because home to Sheffield United, you'd have said that was a clean sheet, and it was. So yeah, Lowton at 4.4 looks okay. If you want a bit of goal threat, Ben Mee got the goal, didn't he? 4.9. So you've got to pay a bit more for him. Elsewhere, I'm not sure. Does Peters come in for Charlie Taylor potentially if he's injured? So maybe he's a 4.3 differential, but I'm scraping the barrel now a little bit with Burnley defenders.
Neo FBL also likes Burnley defenders. Charlie Taylor, who we just mentioned, Matthew Lowton, and Marcus Rashford out of Man United. Anyone who disagrees suggests Neo FPL is missing out on valuable points. Is Marcus Rashford still a differential, though? What's his ownership?
8.6%. Mm-hmm. So he is a differential.
And he's consistently returning at the moment. Is that right? Or is that just an impression?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he scored against last minute against Wolves. He seems to be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's go-to guy, even when he's not necessarily in form. It feels like, as Duncan mentioned earlier, it'll be Martial and Cavani that kind of dovetail between each other. So, yeah, I mentioned him earlier. I like him as a midfielder pick.
I mean, his big issue this season was at Old Trafford. He wasn't scoring at home. He was scoring away. But obviously that Wolves goal has changed that. And, yeah, you wouldn't be surprised to see him really going into a bit of a run now.
Okay. Lee, but not that Lee, says Socek looks to have two decent fixtures. Balbuena as well, because he's so cheap. Tempted by Walcott, but unsure. Walcott doubts, anybody?
Well, I think a lot of managers would say that throughout the last two decades. But Socek for me, I mean, if I have one success this season, it's getting Socek in about week two or three. And he's been really reliable all season. And I love him like a son. So yeah, he's a great option.
Okay. Two West Ham options mentioned there. Mikel Antonio, for what it's worth, 1.6% ownership and 6.2 million for a striker.
Wow.
If he's not in your team in the next 24 hours, Daniel, I'll be disappointed.
I think after game week 18, he'll be in there.
Right. I have to say, it's a big shout. George offers Martinelli and Ben Johnson. They're cheap, so it's not much of a risk. And of course, Ben Johnson got the goal the other day.
Yeah, he did. I think he's 3.9 as well in FPL. Oh. So if you want to go there, I mean, yeah, super, super cheap. And if he's rotated, then that's fine, you know, as long as you've got a bench to cover it. Martinelli's an interesting one. Do like the look of him, actually, when he's been playing for Arsenal the last couple of weeks. And as we've mentioned before, the mini revival that Arsenal are on, maybe he's a reasonable differential. I think I'd prefer to spend my Arsenal FPL pounds on others, like Saka, like we mentioned before. But Martinelli knows where the net is. So if you want uber differential at Arsenal, then yeah, have a look at him.
Murshid also likes Arsenal options, and Bukayo Saka specifically. He's very key, says Murshid, to the Arsenal setup. So I brought him in. And one more here from Juan Carlos, who says Declan Rice seems like a good option for that double game week, but Ward-Prowse is my hero, which is an interesting one. I have Ward-Prowse, but he's a long way from hero status for me at the moment, given his returns of late. He's not had a double-digit return since game week 10. 5-3-2-1-3-3 since then.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Ward-Prowse is his two main strengths are obviously delivering set pieces. So, you know, maybe with the return of Danny Ings, that could improve. And direct free kicks, you know, he's scored a lot of those this season. He's close to the, he's the only modern player really challenging in the upper echelons of direct free kicks in Premier League history. So, yeah, it's always a bit of a gamble with Ward-Prowse. You know, if a game goes a certain way, he could end up with a massive score. But
and they've not had Vestergaard either, Duncan, have they? So it's like he's taking these set pieces. They're not sure who to hit.
Yeah.
All right, Juan Carlos. Might want to rethink his place on your pedestal. Next up, let's wrap up today's official FPL podcast with a quick check on who's doing what transfers and who's going to be wearing which armband. Transfers and captains time. Now, Daniel, you've got quite a shopping list.
Well, for this week, I'll only be making one transfer, which is the failed Mahrez experiment will end. And I kept back 2.9 million deliberately so he could be replaced by Bruno Fernandes.
Right. Make it so. Excellent. Lee, what have you got?
Transfers wise, I'm not sure I'm going to make one. Actually, I may be tempted to roll the transfer. I've got my own Leicester assets, but I think I'm probably going to roll. I think.
But are you not free hitting in 18?
I will be free hitting in 18. Yeah. So,
but would you be rolling a free transfer for then? If you end up with two free transfers going into 18, you'll effectively be throwing one of them away, no? Because you can't retain it over your.
Yeah, it's possible, and that's why I'm thinking about Leicester.
It's literally a fact. That's what you told me about 10 minutes ago.
In that case, I will absolutely be doing a transfer. At the minute, I'm looking at my team. I don't know who that's going to be. I'm kind of tempted to bring in James Justin maybe from Leicester, but my midfield and forward line both look pretty good. So if I do make the transfer and don't burn it, as you've suggested, James, then it will be somebody at the back. It will be a defensive transfer.
Okay. Duncan?
I've got two, and it could be the end, as I mentioned earlier, for the Kane and Son family partnership in team. It's tricky because we don't know about the Fulham game, and we don't know about other games coming up. But yeah, I mean, I'm quite tempted by Lee's bringing in Rodrigo, for Kane, freeing up a lot of cash for
Rodrigo,
and possibly bringing Mane in for that Mane Salah double. So yeah, that's we'll see how Spurs get on later if they do. And then I'll take it from there.
The deadline for game week 17 is 4 o'clock on Friday. So there's plenty of time after Wednesday night's games, hopefully in the plural, to make whatever adjustments you need. I myself, though, went early, as is my wont, by getting in Alioski, who has been looking so impressive for Leeds. And also, he was the right kind of money for me when I shipped out Mitchell. Although, why I did that with Mitchell just coming back into the side? Questions. Anyway, let's talk now about captain's armbands. Daniel?
Same rule as ever. If you bring a player in, a high-priced asset in, you have to make him captain first week. So,
is that FPL basics?
I think it's Daniel Story basics, which is a far less read manual. But yes, Bruno Fernandes will be my captain.
Oh, that's always a solid choice.
Oh, you like him now, don't you, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Bruno Fernandes against Aston Villa, but at home, crucially, yeah. Who's it for you, Lee? Is it Mo Salah again?
It's probably not. I'm looking at the Spurs and Leeds game and thinking that might go the way of the game at Old Trafford a few weeks back. I think Leeds will attack. I think Spurs will therefore counter-attack. I think that's perfectly made for Kane and Son. So, currently got it on Sun, but Fernandes looks all right, and so does Salah against that high line at Southampton. So a few options this week.
Okay, but you're saying it's a bad time to be bringing in a Leeds defender?
It could be, James. Yeah, no, I'm not sure I'd go Alioski either. I'd maybe have gone Dallas, but it's too late now. The deed is too late now.
Okay, I couldn't afford Dallas, but Duncan?
Well, I hear what Lee just said there about the Spurs-Leeds game, but assuming I do get Mane in, I'll probably captain him away at Southampton. Obviously, his former club, the place where he scored the quickest hat-trick in Premier League history. That'll be my punt.
Excellent. All right. Well, as I mentioned, whatever you're doing, listener, get it done by 4 o'clock Friday, the 1st of January. How exciting. A brand new year, a brand new game week, and so much more. If you're hungry for more tips, advice, and the always excellent FPL show with myself and Jules Breach, then head over to fancy.premierleague.com and dive into all that top resource content. Best of luck with Game Week 17. We'll be back next week. But in the meantime, it's a very, very big thank you to Lee, Duncan and Daniel. And Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Oh, wow, that was cringe.